Welcome to Talking Hoosier Baseball. We are recording this on Monday, May 11th, 2026. I am Carl James, joined by Chris Feeney and Zach Horwitz. Cass has the week off. Indiana had only a sliver of hope of making the Big Ten tournament going into the weekend series at Alexander Field in West Lafayette. The Hoosiers left mathematically eliminated, ending the league's leading streak of 12 straight tournament appearances. It also means that Indiana's season will end this coming Saturday at the BART against Illinois, and that the Hoosiers will have their first losing season since 2022 and the second in head coach Jeff Mercer's eight-year tenure at the helm of Indiana University baseball. Despite it being a sweep on the road, Indiana had a late lead in all three games, riding a quality start from Tony Newbeck and huge returns from injury at the plate by Caleb Koski and Braden Ricketts. The Hoosiers took a 9-2 lead into the seventh inning stretch Friday. Mercer and pitching coach Matt Myers went all in with Jackson Yarberry and Gavin Siebold, but the pair allowed 9 runs between the seventh and eighth innings. Purdue did not even need to bat in the ninth to secure an 11-9 Friday win. Purdue would need to bat in the ninth on Saturday. Brayton Thomas was electric through 5.1 scoreless frames. Regan Rivera held the Boilers scoreless through the eighth inning. Indiana led 4-0, but Purdue stormed back with 5 runs to walk off the Hoosiers and take the series. Purdue got off to a better start on Sunday, but Indiana played the comeback card and took a brief lead in the sixth, scoring 5 runs with a 2-run homer by right fielder Owen Tenuver and then a 3-run homer by second baseman Landon Fry. The lead was short-lived, however, and Purdue cruised to an 11-8 win to sweep the series. It was a weekend where Indiana looked like the better team most of the time. But when it went bad, it went very bad. So, Chris, given that there was actually a decent amount of baseball played by the Hoosiers, who earned those red belts for Week 13?
Yeah, I mean, there was a decent amount of baseball played, but this was definitely a weekend where I was kind of wishing I was an opera fan. I'll tell you a quick story, since there's only three of us, so it probably won't be as long as a podcast. I was dating this girl in the year 2000. We met in the summer. And as the summer became the fall, the Mets were doing great. We beat the Giants in a wild card. We were underdogged. Then we beat the Cardinals. They knocked out the Braves. Oh, we were so happy. We got to play the Cardinals. We beat them. But then we lost to our rival in the World Series. And, I mean, we had a lead in game one. We had – every game was close. It was just – and it just killed me to lose to our rival, right, to lose to the Yankees, to have them celebrate at Shea Stadium. And it killed me. And I was trying to explain to this girl, like, I didn't know how to explain it. Like, I just couldn't come up with it. What I came up with was, I wish I was an opera fan. Because, like, if I was into the arts and, like, the opera – like, you never walk out of there like, oh, that soprano sucked. You know, you're never like, this is like the worst Beethoven I ever heard. Like, people, they're just different people. They just go to these things and they sit there with their little books and they're just happy all the time. And they go to their arts and they walk out and it's just great. And whenever something like this weekend happens, I really just go back to that when I was explaining to this girl. It was the best way I could think to explain it. Like, I just wish I was an opera fan sometimes, because sports can just rip your heart out, right? It can, like, for every eighth inning Josh Pine home run against West Virginia in the regional, and every Peter Cerruto home run against Kentucky, and every Matt Lloyd holding on against Texas A&M in the regional, like, all these great moments. But then you get these. And it's like, I don't know, man. The ones like this, they always hurt more than the good ones feel good. You know what I mean? And so, yeah, this was definitely an opera fan weekend for me. I mean, 8-2, we were cruising. Honestly, and I said this before we started, I was focusing more on the Knicks at that point. I figured we had it in a wrap. And then it just falls away, falls away, falls away. And then 4-0 in the ninth? Ugh, rough stuff. But there are red belts to be given out. So I mean, it just, you know, opera fan or not, we gotta give out the red belts. So what I did was for our offensive Alex Dickerson Award, and I just wanted to mention Alex Dickerson is back playing baseball, which is the man does not give up. It's so much perseverance from Alex. He's with the High Point Deckers. I don't know, some independent league team, and his first hit with the team was a home run. So I mean, did we pick the right guy for our award years ago? I think it was, what was it, 17? I don't remember when we started doing this.
18.
18. So the Twitter account started in 17. That's why I tell you to be 17. And then pod 18. And we've had Alex Dickerson has to be our award. And the man is still playing now, which is wild. So for the Alex Dickerson award, I mean, after the first two games, the way they went, and then Sunday comes. And again, I'll admit, I was at a sheet movie on Sunday. That's what my mother wanted to do. So I get out of the sheet movie and we're winning. I couldn't believe it. And I realized, and I went back and realized what happened. Of course, I watched us blow it and then we lost again. But as I, you know, went into it, I saw that Landon Fry batted with one out in first and second in the sixth inning. And not that I got to experience the home run, but if he came to bat with one out in the sixth inning, no offense to Landon, but my man is hitting to a lot of double plays. And instead, in this moment, he hits a three-run bomb against Purdue. So he's going to be my red belt winner, to just like taking what maybe wasn't going well with the double plays to boom, the complete opposite. So Landon gets that. And then, I mean, after an 8-2 blown lead, there was a sports announcer, play-by-play, not play-by-play, FAN radio guy, Mike Francesa, for those who know about him. Him, Mike, and the Mad Dog, we had a great radio show growing up. And Mike always said, momentum is tomorrow's starting pitcher. And that didn't make me feel too good Saturday, I'll be honest, because Brayton has had some rough starts. And I'm like, if we have a rough start on Saturday after blowing Friday, I figured we'd be ruined. But Brayton came out and threw 5 1/3 shutout innings. I mean, that's going to be our Joey Donato Award because he stepped up when we really needed it. If we would have given up 2, 3 runs in the first couple of innings, which Brayton has done a couple of times, I think we would have been buried for the game. But he gives up no runs, throws 56 pitches, just 4 hits and 2 strikeouts, just 2 walks and 1 hit by pitch. He's done that in an inning. And it took him 5 innings to get to that. So Brayton really stepped it up when we needed it. Again, it didn't go well late, but Brayton Thomas is our Joey Donato Award winner. And for defense, the Tony Butler Award, it's going to be another Tony. We're going to give it to Tony Newbeck for some great PFP. I know it was 9-2 at the time, so you might have thought it didn't mean anything. It was the bottom of the sixth. It was a drop third strike. He bounced off the mound, throws to first. I think the bull hit the bat. I don't even know if that was legal. But bottom line was Tony made the play. And I don't know, can you get a strikeout and a putout on the same play? Because that's what he did. And I'm not even sure if that's something that goes on a scorebook. But Tony Newbeck gets our defensive. So it's going to be Landon Fry, Brayton Thomas, and Tony Newbeck for our red belts this week.
The conference standings are, yeah, this is pretty much the worst we've ever seen. Indiana is in 17th place. So, same win percentage as 15th place Maryland and 16th place Northwestern. But given the new rules this year, if you have lost a series to every team that you're tied with, you are at the bottom of the barrel. So, that is where Indiana finds themselves now. Purdue actually has gotten themselves back into the conversation for a top four seed. For Purdue, it was really the weekend was really more about solidifying an at-large bid. They're trying to solidify an at-large bid. They're still a bubble team. And they're trying to solidify an at-large bid. They're 47th in the RPI right now. But they did because Oregon was not able to complete the series win at UCLA, they managed to catch Oregon. Now, Oregon has already beat Purdue in a series, so right now Oregon has the head-to-head tiebreaker. But if Purdue could gain another gain on them this coming week, Purdue could get into a top four seed situation. As far as our pick'ems go, it is Zach that made the move last week. Zach has now tied with Cass for first. And I am now two series behind as my gamble on Oregon did not pay off. I was close. I was this close. But that gamble did not pay off. Actually, everyone else finished 5-2 on the week. Zach finished 6-1. I have Cass's picks. So I will
Don't tell
let.
him the Zach yet.
Nope, I'm going to let Zach give his picks now.
Yeah,
I'm calling it now. I'm going to go back to back. So I don't need her picks. I want it now. So I'll
Like it.
start. So Nebraska, this is actually a tough week in general, I think. But the first pick, Nebraska over Minnesota on the road. I'll take that. I'll take Michigan at home against Ohio State. They've been better than I expected, honestly. But I'll take Michigan. This one, Penn State at Maryland, that's kind of a disgusting series to watch, but I'll take the home team there for Maryland and their season with a win. Purdue at Iowa, that's really tough for me, actually. But I know it's not Indiana's relief pitching, but I think Purdue can find ways to win. So I'll take them on the road. They really got to take 2 out of 3 to have a chance to be in this tournament. Rutgers, Northwestern. I'm actually going to take Northwestern. I was at their stadium recently. I think that team's got a lot of energy. So I'll take Northwestern, take UCLA over Washington, and then USC Oregon is extremely tough. I might just take a shot in the dark. I'm going to take USC on the road.
All right, well, this one's going to be interesting because Cass has three different picks in this final week. And by the way, my picks are matching Cass's, and that wasn't I just that's just what I she sent it to me like I'm not looking. I went ahead and made my picks and I'm like that's exactly the same. Mine picks are Nebraska, Michigan, Maryland, pretty much all the same reasons. Here's where we're different though. I went and Cass and I both went with Iowa. Cass went with Rutgers. She did pick UCLA, but Cass went with Oregon. So Iowa, Rutgers, Oregon are the distinctions there. So three series that are different, and how those three shake out, which means that I don't think there's a chance for a tie. So
Not with three, no.
no.
And it could come down to the last series because it's a West Coast time.
Yeah.
So we could be sitting there Saturday trying to figure out the winner. That would be awesome. Oh, that would be great. You want my picks, Carl, or it doesn't
Yes.
matter?
Yeah.
I mean,
No,
it doesn't matter.
yours, but you we're you're only a series behind me, so
Okay. So it's me versus. Okay.
you
I
can get
like
into
it.
third place, so yep.
All right. I took Minnesota. I took, Michigan, they started off the season great, non-con wise. I got them finishing the season solid here. Penn State took care of me last week, which I was surprised. So I took them again. Iowa and Rutgers, and I took UCLA and USC.
Okay.
So that's going to be my picks. So I'm one behind you. All
Yep.
right. So we could battle for third.
Yep. And there was enough differences there that yes, this will be, we finally have an interesting week. Definitely unlike the one we had, what was it, last week where everybody picked the same?
Yeah.
That was boring. All right. And there was one other thing I wanted to mention because it actually has come up with some non-Hoosier fans, but the apps site for apps.iubase.com, in the conference section, there is the CRPI. It had actually started to not work a few weeks ago because the season gotten big enough that the way it was written, the date there were too many database calls. So I actually had some time to go through and recode that. And it's now it pops just it works and it comes up quickly. What's interesting is because it had been a while since I'd looked at it because it wasn't working. Now that I've looked at it, for the most part, it pretty closely tracks the standings now. So at least the way the Big Ten schedule has worked out, there isn't a massive advantage that one team has. The top four are still the same top four. I would say second place is a lot closer. Nebraska, USC, and Oregon are right all jumbled with each other. While in the actual standings, Nebraska has a bit of a lead because they don't have to play UCLA unlike the others. The thing the two teams that do show up in a differently now it's they're still in the same bulk location, but I think it's important for the postseason settings is that Michigan is fifth in the CRPI. Purdue's had a very easy schedule through the Big Ten. Their opponents are only playing 427 as a whole. So with that, Purdue is seventh in CRPI while they're fifth and on the cusp of fourth overall in the Big Ten.
What was ours, Carl? Strength of schedule in the Big Ten.
Opponent win percentage 473. So it's a lighter, it was a lighter schedule.
I remember us thinking that when the season took a start with the Big Ten, that we had actually have a chance to avoid some of the bigger boys.
Yeah, so the lightest schedules have been Purdue and Washington have had the lightest schedules.
So we must be right above them then, if we're at 400 something.
Yeah.
We also thought it would get easier for Indiana as the season would go on, but then it
Yes, we did.
kind of turned the
Not so
page.
fast.
Yeah. Well, I mean, no one was predicting that Purdue was going to be decent, so.
We were predicted sixth in the conference.
Yeah. But a lot of, I mean, there's two things. A, they always start with last year's standings as the baseline and then make adjustments off of that. And things happen that, yeah, that don't make that lineup exactly right. All right, so we've got belts, we've got the Big Ten standings, CRPI, and pick 'em. So now Indiana does have three more games left in the season, and those will be Thursday, Friday, Saturday at the BART against Illinois. Zach, what can you tell us?
So final series of the season, kind of crazy, but the season has flown and Indiana obviously hasn't done as well as everyone had hoped. So final three games at the BART, Illinois comes in. They're 27 and 23 overall, 13 and 14 in the Big Ten, and 6 and 12 on the road. So just kind of your average Big Ten, middle of the pack team. They don't really slug, but they do steal bases. They work the counts. They walk a lot. So nothing totally overpowering. They have two guys, Nick Groves and AJ Putty. They lead the offense, the only two guys that really stand out there. And then Collin Jennings, who doesn't have too great of a batting average, but he has 15 home runs. He's kind of their lone legit home run threat. So look out for him this weekend. On the pitching end, they have some st solid starters, actually. Regan Hall and Aiden Flynn both have around a 2 ERA. Nothing totally overpowering, though, in terms of the stuff. I mean, honestly, this Indiana offense has seen plenty of tough pitching this season. And I would say that they haven't really been up to par with lower level pitching. So I guess the challenge is near, but I wouldn't count them out in that perspective. But the team that Illinois has a team that Indiana could clearly beat. But obviously, can they hold a lead? Could they get a pitching performance to counter that of Illinois? So we'll see. Final series of the year. Hoping for a series win, of course. But I mean, kind of get what you get these days. So before we get to our discussion, we're around the 40 game mark of the Major League Baseball season already. So Chris, can you talk to us about our Hoosiers in the pros?
All right, so we got the alumni update. Now, first off, I wanted to touch on Tim Herron, 12 and two-thirds innings, and still has a zero earned run average. That's 16 games worth of appearances. So he has really been coming through for that Guardian bullpen. We have a promotion from Brock Tibbetts to the Florida Complex League of the Toronto Blue Jays. So it's good to see Brock getting back. He was injured, he's coming back. We have a promotion from the Florida Complex League, which is Ty Bothwell. He is now a Frederick National. They call him the Fred Nats. So go to Twitter, go to Fred Nats, follow them, and you can follow Ty Bothwell. We don't know when he's going to pitch or how it's going to be, you know, how he's going to be used, but it's at Fred Nats if you want to try to stay current with Ty Bothwell. I know we like to. Definitely a fan of the, you know, friend of the podcast, a friend of ours, honestly. He's a great dude. He's talking about perseverance. The man started as a white shirt. He was here when Lemonis got fired. I mean, when Lemonis took the job, he didn't get fired. Lemonis took the Mississippi State job. That's how long Ty was here. But it's great to see him with a chance to move up in the Nationals organization. Braden Scott, we talked about last week that he had a bunch of Ks and a couple of games. They released the Atlantic League, the Independent League, the Atlanta League. They released the strikeout leaders. He's first, 36 strikeouts. Second place, Trevor Bauer. Long Island Ducks, 34 strikeouts. So him and Trevor are going at it like me and Carl are going at it in the Pick'em League. So we'll see who wins that one. What else do we have here? Well, we have our – I mean, it's not an alumni update without Kyle Schwarber, right? So Schwarber's up to 356 bombs. He just passed this, Greg Vaughn. I remember Vaughn a little bit, and Luis Gonzalez, who I absolutely know. He hit the game seven game-winning RBI against the Yankees. Just a year later from that other story I was telling you, when the Yankees beat us, then the D-backs took out the Yankees. So Kyle Schwarber's next goal, we got Carlos Lee, and this guy you might have heard of, Yogi Berra. So Schwarber is just shooting up, and he's passing guys that, you know, I mean, these are major names. A lot of them. Yeah, some of them you don't really know. You talk about Yogi Berra. I mean, come on. That's ridiculous. And he's got, you know, 150 more to get to that 500. I would really like to see him get there. Again, only 28 human beings are on that list, and I would really like to see Kyle hit that. I know there's only three games left in the Hoosier baseball season this year, and it hasn't gone the way that we've planned. But there are 33 Pro Bowl Hoosiers in Major League Baseball, Minor League Baseball, and Independent League. And there's plenty of time to follow them. And, of course, the high school guys as they get into their playoffs and state championships and all that good stuff. So, you know, we're not a one-trick pony here at IU Base. You can follow us at IU Base 17 on Twitter. We try to do the best we can when the season's over with high school guys and, of course, with alumni. So, you know, again, this was not the season we wanted. A lot of times it made you want to be an artful guy or an opera fan or whatever you want to talk about. But, you know, there's plenty to follow along with our Hoosiers alumni and the high school guys coming in.
Okay, well, I decided to steal from Austin Render to get our topic for our roundtable discussion. He was kind of putting out there the idea that maybe that as bad as these late game meltdowns have been, do we think that that's better than just like getting blown out every game from the start? I guess that's the question is do you take something from the fact that this team has been competitive even though they can't finish?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's baseball that you're going to win some games that you shouldn't sometimes, maybe against teams that are way better than you. We've seen that kind of in the midweek plenty this year. But yeah, I think you got to stay competitive. I mean, if this team, Carl, you said it before we hopped on, if this team played six-inning games or maybe seven-inning baseball games, they'd be a fantastic team. And I think if they were maybe another like legitimate relief pitcher away, that they would be as good. I mean, Gavin Siebold has been fantastic all season long. He had his worst outing this weekend and they drop a game there. But I just look at it kind of in the bigger picture. The fact that they've had a season with players like Caleb Koski, who's hitting almost 400, Hogan Denny, who I feel like has hit the ball on a line drive every time he comes up to the plate. You have Tony Newbeck, who was a fantastic offseason pickup. Like, and again, I mentioned Siebold just kind of coming on as the ace of that relief pitching staff. that they're not as bad as the record shows. They shouldn't lose these games, and I think it has turned mental. That especially this weekend, that you see Friday night, they lose. Friday night was the 9-2 lead, I believe it was, that they lost. So then it becomes the Saturday or the sorry, the season, the series started on a Thursday, so it became the Friday game, the second game of the series, where they're up 4-0 going into the final inning. And it's kind of just a mental thing once you allow the first base runner, and then they put two on, and it's just, I think it's the snowball effect. So to answer that question, I would say to be competitive, because you're gonna find a way out of some of these games eventually. But certainly have not been able to pitch well enough all season long to get out of their own way and run the bases and play defense and hit into double plays, kind of these situational things that the team just hasn't succeeded on.
Well, I'm going to vehemently disagree with you. Maybe it's the macro and the micro, and I hear what you're saying. In the big picture, it's better and all that. But as a fan, when you're watching it, I will tell you another story. The 2015 Mets, okay? We're down, I think we were in third place in August. We get Cespedes, we fight back, we catch the Nats, we pass them by like 8 games by the end of the season. We're playing the Dodgers. We beat them in game five in their house. We go to Wrigley and sweep them. So, we're high. We're like, we're great. We're gonna take care of this. We play the Royals. We go into game one with a lead in the ninth, blow it and lose in 14. Game two, we lose 7-1. Game three was awesome. I was there. I was at all the home games. We win 9-3. Beautiful thing. Next game, we're up 3-1 in the eighth. We blew it, lost 5-3. Game five, we're up 2-0 in the ninth. We lose 7-2 in the 12th. The Kansas City Royals led for 8 innings. 8 innings, and we lost 4-1. I would have rather got swept 8-0 every game. Okay, I'm just telling you how it is. So that I would rather get blown out. Okay, I would rather, and Austin puts the question out there. I don't know how he feels. Zach, I understand what you're saying. I respect your opinion. But I think that's more of like a big picture. Like when you're sitting there, let me goof around in the seventh inning. Like I was at the Tennessee Regional. Let me get smoked because there's only so much this I can take. You know what I'm saying? It's just, I would rather get blown out because to have, I mean, Friday night, that was going to be great. Even in my head, even if we lose the next two, we with our best guy, we beat Purdue. We blow it. And then Saturday, come on, 4-0 in the ninth. I remember Pedro threw a great 8 innings against the Yankees once. And we brought in that idiot Wagner, and he blew it against the Yankees. So I would, and again, that day, tell me whatever you want. I would have rather lost 7-0. Because then by the end of the game, you're goofing around, you're making fun of the usher, you're joking. Like it's over. You got it out of your system. Like I can't even imagine being a Texas Ranger fan. Like with that World Series, I know they won later, but what happened with that Cardinals thing? What was it? Freeze? David Freeze was one catch away from winning a World Series. I can't even fathom that. So for me, I would rather get blown out. Sign me up for a sweep 4-0 in a series. Sign me up. Because it's like you have these little decisions and you go back and you think about what if we did this? What if we did that? I'd rather just be the worst team and say we lost.
Chris, I have a Mets reference for you because I remember last season my Marlins ended the Mets playoff
There you
hopes in
go.
the final game of the year. And it was the whole broadcast, they were saying that the Mets had a 2-month slow death. That's kind of what this is. It's a slow death where every game is kind of just getting worse. I do understand that. I just think it's tough. If you do get blown out in every single game, that is so disheartening. That is like, why are we even interested in this anymore? That's.
But you root for the laundry, right? Seinfeld said it 25 years ago. You're not going to stop rooting for your team because you suck 1 year. Like, they're still your team. Like, for me, it's not, come on, all my teams. I would have quit the Mets and the Jets and the Islanders a long time ago. But you root for the laundry. You don't even, honestly, like, yeah, believe me, like Piazza was my guy, David Wright. Like, you have your favorite players. I'm not saying that. But honestly, you're rooting for the laundry. You're not even rooting for the player. So I would just rather get smoked, man. I'm telling you, I've been through this. I would rather, and it's a perfect example of what you bring up. I should have brought that up because that's a great example. My buddy Tom, we call him Rosenblatt's boss because he was Rosenblatt's boss. He called the whole season a death by a thousand cuts instead of having your head chopped off by a machete. And it really was. It was a death by a thousand cuts, spending $350 million. Not making the playoffs. So, yeah, perfect example, Zach. Yeah, it just slow. Give me, like, maybe this year, this is going to be the Mets now, right? We're dead last in the damn National League. But you know what? At least I know it. And I don't have these, what is it, illusion of grandeur, they say? I mean, it's hard, man. Sports can be rough. And like I said in the other part, like, you always remember the ones that hurt. They hurt way more than the good feels good. Just the way it is. And we're idiots that we deal with this for, like how many things have you cared about for 45 years, Carl? Like, right? Or 50 years, whatever it is. Like, and Zach, you'll learn this as you get older. Like, even Zach now, how many things have you cared about for 20 years or 15, let's say?
I can give my most recent reference where I go to a school that was 3-9 my freshman year. My favorite college football team that I've grown up going, I haven't missed a single home game since I was 4 years old. They were 6-6 when I entered college, and they play each other in the national championship, and my hometown team loses. I think that's kind of right
There you
there.
go. That was the Zach Bowl. I remember.
No, that was pretty crazy
That was
coincidence.
wild. Sports are nuts, man. And you know what? This wasn't our year, and there was some bad play, and some people were had some high expectations that didn't come through, and that happens. Does it suck? Sure. This weekend was awful. I'm not. Let's. Ugh. It was gross. I didn't like. Another example, and I swore this at the time. When Beltran didn't swing at game seven against the Cardinals, I didn't think I could watch baseball again. I remember sitting at work the next day, and my boss came over, and I'm just like, he's like, I can't believe you came in today. I'm like, well, I can't not come to work because my team lost. Like, that wouldn't have looked good. So I did my subway ride, and I got to work. I said, I can't believe you're here, man. And like I said, I told him that. And I'm like, dude, I don't think I can go to a baseball game. He's like, you'll be back in April. And I've been back 20 April since. So it is what it is. They say, they say like baseball is romantic. How are you not romantic about baseball, right? And they say that. And they're right about a lot of moments. But it can also be a damn horror movie. And that boogeyman's just sitting there waiting to get you.
Carl, what team are you on? Are you slow death, or you want to get blown out?
Slow death. I'm with you, Zach. Now, this is my argument for it, though, because I feel the pain that Chris is talking about. But this is the thing is, I know that the reason the good moments feel so good is because of the possibility of that pain and having felt that pain.
And
But yeah,
that's fair.
you're
That's
right.
fair. But the bad feels worse than the good feels
Oh
good.
yeah, no, there's no question that
And
I
yet we
mean,
do this year after year with our teams. It's like
right.
we're
But I mean,
crazy.
to this day, I mean, a couple years ago, the Dodgers go make a deal, and I look it up, and there it is. The Dodgers have traded for Tommy Edman, and of course, I have to make a comment about it, and I go, every rational reason, I'm thrilled for this deal. But I have a reason that I'm not. And a particular person on Twitter replied, "The reason is pain. The reason is pain."
100% nailed it. The reason is because you picture Will Nolan, Pat Nolan, hanging on a fence, and Schwarber on his knees with his hands to his head. Ah, oh, the worst. The
Listen,
worst.
Tommy Edman ended the most promising season that Indiana baseball ever had.
What was
So,
it? 21-2 in the big, right?
21-3.
21-3. That was nuts. That was so much fun. That was my first season here. I said, oh, I said, this is great. And then they screw it up in the playoffs, and I just felt more normal again.
It has been extremely underwhelming. I guess that's a light way to put it, that they're in last place with the tiebreaker. They're in last place. They were picked to finish fifth. Thought maybe outside of the West Coast teams, they'd be the best team in the regular Big Ten, the original Big Ten.
Yeah.
But now we're sitting here at 7-20 in the conference with a
Was it one
loss
in
to the.
nine, right? We said one win in the last 10 big games.
Yeah.
But the other thing is if we look at the lineup, we look at even the pitchers, and what you see is some inconsistency. But you look at that group and you're thinking, and of course, we've seen them play teams like Nebraska and Oregon and North Carolina. I mean, they had North Carolina beat.
They did.
And so you look at this team, you've got, I mean, if you say before the season that Caleb Koskie is going to hit near 400, that Tony Newbeck was going to return to form as a Friday guy after his injury, things like this, and that Gavin Siebold, who was basically, was getting hammered most of last season, was going to, take over a month before he gave up an earned run. All those things, you throw that all in, and you're like, there's no way this team is not at least middle of the pack. But dead last? That's
Dead
just.
last, the
And
basement.
a team, yeah, a team that beat. I mean, this is in the midweek, but it's still the same hitters in the midweek. Maybe not the pitchers, but they beat Louisville, they beat Vanderbilt, and then at the beginning of the season, they beat a UCF team, which I'm very familiar with. I know kids that are on the team personally, but like they're a regional team. They were a regional host bubble team in the last 2 weeks. That you just sit here like they beat some of the better teams on the schedule. But then they couldn't win a series against Northwestern after winning on a Friday night. And they got swept at home by Iowa, who was definitely better than their record is, at least at the time. They were, I think, below the cut line when they came to Bloomington. That, I mean, we talked plenty about the Washington team. That was the first series of the year. That after that, they lost to a team that I thought was certainly inferior to them. This is kind of how it's played out now. There's a team at who's the number one team in the country at 26-1 in the conference, and then sitting here at 7-20. That it's just kind of crazy how this has played out. But again, they have 3 games left. Hopefully, they can finish strong and build into the offseason. It's tough.
Before we wrap this up, Carl, I gotta ask because I know Zach wasn't around for this. I don't think. Zach, you weren't here for the sweep that Maryland put on us at home, right?
No.
Okay. So, Carl, I'm gonna ask you this. Hand to be honest, would you rather that than this against Purdue this week in their house?
Oh, I felt worse of the Maryland series.
Really?
Yes.
You felt worse.
Yes, I felt worse. I felt getting absolutely trounced
But it was easier to take. It
at
was easier
home
to deal
too.
with,
At home,
wasn't
you
it?
were at the game.
Oh, we were there.
I was there, and I guess that might be something different, which is weird because usually I prefer to be there. If things are going to be bad, I'd rather be there. But
See, you said that to me in Carolina, and I told you you were nuts then, and I'll tell you you're nuts now. I would, no way, no way. Put me on my recliner than having to deal with it in person.
I just that team, it was just, I guess it was one of those, it was like that was a different type of gut punch. That was a, this team isn't nearly as good as we thought they were.
And it was three blowouts, though, is my point, where we lost two complete meltdowns and then not a heartbreaker. It's not like we were leading late Sunday, but it was competitive.
Yeah, I guess it was just more of what I thought it was saying about the team, which it turns out was exaggerated. It
Yeah.
was they had a bad they IU had a bad weekend. Maryland had a fantastic weekend, and it turned out to not. I mean, obviously IU had a great run after that, but it just
Yes.
felt like, oh, they just got exposed.
I'd
While the
still rather
thing,
lose by that much every for 3 days than deal with this crap that we dealt with this weekend.
and I guess the issue this weekend was more just the fact that it's bad enough that it happened, but the fact that it's happened multiple times going all the way back to North Carolina that it's just,
True.
yeah. I do have a couple other points I wanted to make. Friday night, 6 p.m. game is senior night. So a little bit before the game, there will be a senior event. They haven't filled, they haven't given us, it's always weird how they define who is technically a senior for these. Sometimes it'll be because you've got some guys that'll have another year of eligibility, but they're graduating. They usually get, obviously, IU has a ton of graduate students, particularly pitchers in this group. I will go ahead and list those that are out of eligibility because those are the numbers I do have. So let me pull that up real quick. So the players that are exhausting eligibility are Anthony Gubitosi, Pete Haas, Caden Jacoby, Connor Lynn, Tony Newbeck, Regan Rivera, Michael Sarhat, and Gavin Siebold. So they may be honored with the senior celebration. So that's a possibility. But there's also, you know, that there's other. There's, I think there's a couple of people who are academic seniors who may be getting degrees. And they're usually honored as well. So we'll see how that all shakes out. And usually they release a list. I would think at least Thursday we should have a list that we can share with you on iubase.com.
And Carl, just to be clear for anybody listening that might be newer, that Friday is game two of the series.
Correct.
So
Yeah,
it's
so the
Thursday, Friday, 6 p.m. What is it, Saturday at 2, I would
Saturday
guess?
too, yes. There is, it looks like, I thought at one point there was, hold on, let me pull it back. There was rain possibly on Friday was the last time I checked. Let's see what the weather forecast is looking like now.
Oh, wait, Paul, why can't we start Connor on Thursday? Because it might feel like a Tuesday. And then we'll put Tony on Friday.
It's possible. I actually think Yarberry is going to start Thursday is what I think is going to happen.
I would start Connor Lynn Thursday just because it might feel like a midweek.
And then and of course and yeah and he didn't go really deep, so he should be
I'm saying.
rested enough at least for an inning or
So
two.
Lynn, Newbeck, Thomas.
Yeah, and then go to Yarberry after that. Is what I would do. But yeah, I would keep, there's absolutely no reason not to keep Newbeck
On the
and
same days.
Thomas on the same days. Yeah, you just keep them on the
Plus,
same
midweek,
days.
Tuesday, Thursday, what the hell's the difference? And he's great on midweeks.
Yes.
Oh, this is, that's it. We're
Yeah.
sweeping.
I can't understand what the distinction there is. You know, a start on a Tuesday versus a start on a Sunday. But for some reason, Connor Lynn is,
Listen, it's a day that starts with T.
it's a day that starts with T. So let's
This
start him on a
end.
day that starts with T. Yep.
All this ends with Y. I've heard these ends with Y jokes forever.
Right.
Well, now we're going to do days which start with T for
T.
Connor Lynn.
Yep.
We're sweeping them.
All right. Well, that will do it for this episode of Talking Hoosier Baseball. We will have one more regular season episode. We'll have a wrap with the final Red Belts next week. But that will be it as the season comes to an end for Indiana, even though the Big Ten tournament won't start till Tuesday. So, for Zach Horwitz and Chris Feeney, I'm Carl James, and this Thursday, Friday, Saturday, we will see you at the BART.